The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. God's law, the Ten Commandments, are at the very heart and center of God's Word, the Holy Bible. They are love, and they guide us down the path to peace, happiness, and successful living if we obey them. They have not been done away. Rather, Jesus Christ himself came to magnify them and make them even more binding by lifting them to the spiritual plane. Now we must keep them not only in the letter, but in the spirit as well. As we do that, they bring wonderful spiritual blessings, as well as physical ones. Please get your Bible and follow along as we look at what the scriptures have to say regarding this subject, the Ten Commandments. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16. Notice what Hebrews 10 and verse 16 says. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Eternal. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now he makes it possible for us to internalize his law, that is, to understand and keep the spiritual principles of the law as well as the physical principles of the law. Now, God's law does not just require us to do certain things and to say certain things. Now that Jesus Christ has lifted it to the spiritual plane, it requires us to think certain things and think in a certain way. In other words, keeping the law now becomes a matter of intent. What do we mean? What's in our heart, as well as what we do and what we say. Let's turn over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 to further verify that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament or covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In other words, we must keep both the letter and the Spirit, and now the rewards are spiritual as well as physical. That's what it's saying. Christ himself said that he did not come to destroy the Ten Commandments. He did not come to destroy the law. Please read that over here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Look at what Jesus Christ said. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to complete, to magnify it, to make it more binding by requiring that we keep it in the spirit as well as the letter, and therefore then we are blessed with spiritual blessings as well as physical blessings. Now, some people read this verse right here in Matthew 5:17 this way. They say Christ meant this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to destroy. Of course, that's not what it says. It says plainly, think not. Don't even think it. Not only is it not true, I don't even want you to think that it's true. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to fill it up, to make it complete, to magnify it to the spiritual level and not just in the letter of the law. With that background, we will now continue with our series through the Ten Commandments, which comprise God's law. If you've been following along, you know that we have now come to commandment number 3. Do you know what the third commandment is? Do you know what it means? Do you know where to find it? Come along with me over here to Exodus chapter 20 and we'll see. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Notice what it says here in God's word, inspired by Almighty God himself. Exodus 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. How does that commandment apply to us today as we live our lives, carry out our responsibilities, and meet our obligations on a day-by-day basis? Is it practical? Is it applicable to us individually? What does it mean? Well, this third commandment has to do with God's greatness, his character, his position and power and authority and holiness. When people break this commandment, they blaspheme God's very character and office. Keeping this point of the law shows proper respect and dignity and awe to our Father in heaven and to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Please turn with me to Psalms chapter 8, and let's read starting in verse 1. That's Psalms 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Did you notice what it says there about the name of God? We just read that the third commandment requires that we do not take his name in vain. Look at how David referred to him and his name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Notice verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him, or that you pay attention or care for him? This shows how we should feel about God's name. How excellent is your name in all the earth, David said. Let's stay in this book of Psalms and go over here to Psalms chapter 18 and verse 1. Psalms 18 and verse 1. Notice the attributes that David lists that describe the great God in heaven and his glorious name. Verse 1 of Psalms 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower, my stronghold. Verse 3, I will call upon the Eternal, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Those are some of the qualities of the very character and integrity and honor and greatness of the great God. And his name represents all of that because it describes him and his character and his power and glory. His name does. He names himself what he actually is. Yet flagrant abuse and vileness toward the holy name of the holy God is rampant all over the world today. Swearing and cursing have become part of the everyday vocabulary of nearly everyone, young and old alike, women and men, and even children spew out the most disgusting, vile curse words, or as some people refer to them, cuss words, imaginable. And yet, as they do, they are dishonoring the great God in heaven and breaking the third commandment. Even people who profess to be Christian get caught up in that practice. And that kind of talk, that kind of language, that kind of speaking is taken very lightly today by many, many people. It's even amusing in all too many cases and circles of society. Do you know what that kind of talk does? It trivializes the name of God and brings devastating penalties and consequences on everyone that engages in such practices. The great Almighty God does not find such language amusing, not in the least. Cursing, swearing, filthy language is cursing and damning the very one who gives us life and breath, God himself. He says he will not hold those guiltless who do such things, and we can count on that. Profanity and vulgarity have no place in the life of a true Christian. I want you to follow along now in God's word and turn to a few scriptures that address this kind of conduct, this kind of speaking. James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1 and verse 21, God inspired this apostle of his to write this for us to read and live by today. Verse 21, James 1, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, be it actions or words or thoughts, and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engraft word which is able to save your souls. Lay it apart. Quit doing it. Quit saying it. Quit thinking it, James is telling us. The Bible gets even more specific over here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians 3 and verse 8. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. When we curse and swear and spew filthy, vile words out of our mouths, that is blaspheming the great God in heaven. And it says here that we're to lay that aside, put it off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. And notice how specific the verse is about speaking. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Put it off. Paul says here in the book of Colossians, put off all these. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Jesus Christ addresses this same subject. Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. Notice here in Matthew 5, 34. Now here are the very words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He gets very specific. How can this be misunderstood? And yet it's continually ignored, rejected, and pushed aside today in our society. I hope it's not true in your case. And I certainly intend for it not to be in my case. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. That's kind of airtight, isn't it? There's no wiggle room there. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But here's the way to speak. Verse 37. Let your communication, let your words be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil, or from the evil one. In other words, he's saying, let your language be clean. Let it be correct. Let it be proper. And when you say something, back it up. Make sure your word is good. If you say, yes, I will do that, do it. If you say, no, I'm not going to do that, don't do it. But don't sprinkle your words and your conversation and your communication with all kind of cuss words or curse words and swearing and blasphemous statements. If you do, and if anybody does, you are disobeying Jesus Christ himself and you're breaking the third commandment. I just want to take a little time to explain this further. I realize that as we live our lives in this society today, we're faced with various legal documents and legal circumstances where we're told to raise our hand and swear. But you're not required to do that by law. The law actually allows you to affirm that you're telling the truth, whether on paper or whether in spoken form. So you really don't have to raise your hand and swear. Even legally, you're allowed to simply affirm or declare that you're telling the truth. One other point I want to address regarding cuss words or curse words. There are people who don't want to curse, so therefore they will use euphemisms. Euphemisms and bywords are just a form of watered-down cursing. They just substitute another word for the actual cuss word. Instead of saying Jesus Christ, they say geez, or instead of saying God, they'll say golly, or instead of saying some other vile word, they'll substitute a word that sounds kind of like it but isn't actually the word. Well, that breaks the spirit of the law. We don't have to have bywords, we don't have to have cuss words, and we certainly should not and must not have swear words. We can simply use good language. And if we are happy, we can just smile and be happy and use a word that's perfectly right. Or if we're mad, we can cool off and take a walk and maybe be upset by using a string of words that are not in any way, shape, or form dishonoring or blaspheming the great God in heaven, in the spirit or in the letter. Let's address another matter regarding honoring God's name rather than taking it in vain. What about religious titles that belong to God and only God and never to human beings or to mortal men? Here we are in the book of Matthew, so let's go on over here to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 8. Once again, these are the words of Jesus Christ. You have no higher authority than Jesus Christ, and you have no words that are more important than his words. Now, as we read this in the Bible with our own eyes, what impact does it have on us? Will it make a difference? Are we going to pay attention and really follow what he says? Just notice here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 8. But be not you called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all of you are brethren. Verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, For one is your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 10, neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You can disregard that if you want to, and you can argue about that if you want to, but I will refer you back to what it says and who said it. Jesus Christ said it, and if he said it, we better pay attention and we better follow it. Verse 9, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Of course, these are verses that are referring to religious titles. He says in other places in the Bible that we're to honor our human fathers, and we can call our human fathers Father, because it's a family name, not a religious name used in that context. But when we use it in a religious context, we are taking a name that should refer to only the Father in heaven and applying it to a human being, and Jesus Christ says, don't do that. Let's now turn over here to Psalms chapter 111. Psalms chapter 111 and verse 9. Here's another religious title that is misappropriated to men in religious circles today. I'm well aware that some of these leaders are fine men and they're upstanding and they are trying to do the best they can and they mean well and they're honorable men. And all of that is well and good. But having said that, we still must not attach to any human being any title that only refers to the great God in heaven. That's breaking the third commandment. Let's read here in Psalms 111 and verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Verse 10. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Did you catch what verse 9 says? He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. We should never call any human being reverend. This is a divine name. It means to be revered and worthy of worship. No mortal man is worthy of such a title or position. Only God, the great God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are in a position to be revered and worshiped, and therefore to be called reverend. When you respect a man, whether he be in a religious office or whether he be in a civil office of authority, when you call him Mister, that's all that's necessary. That's very appropriate. That's showing respect and that's showing regard for his office. But to take it to the level of calling him reverend is using a term that should apply only to God and his office. And therefore, it is inappropriate and takes a name that applies only to God and misuses it by applying it to a man. So please give that some thought and study and read it right here in God's Word. The commandment not to take God's name in vain involves action that backs up the good words. Obviously, well-meaning people will say wonderful things about God and will call him all kinds of tremendous and appropriate and proper names. God Almighty, the great God in heaven, the Holy Righteous Father. Yes, and that is appropriate and that is proper to call him that. But you know what? That's not enough. We have to back up those words with actions. Otherwise, they are meaningless words because he requires us to worship him and revere him and then follow up with obeying him in order for our relationship with him to be acceptable and in order for us to honor his name and fulfill the third commandment instead of breaking it. Let's notice Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Hear the words of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's okay to call him Lord, Lord, but that's not enough. According to him, and it's right here in this verse, we must do the things which he says. We must obey him. That's all a part of worshiping him. That's all a part of honoring him. That's all a part of upholding his position and his name and his authority and power in our lives. We call him Lord, Lord, but we also do what he says. To say Lord, Lord, and wonderful sounding religious sayings, and even to sing wonderful hymns, and to seem and sound and look so religious, but then not to obey him in our everyday lives is hypocritical. And we know what God says about hypocrites. It takes both in order to keep his commandments and in order to keep the third commandment. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to refer to him with the names and qualities and attributes that glorify his holy character, integrity, and position, and mean it from the heart. And then we have to submit to him and obey him. And that then brings blessings and wonderful results in our lives. Let's turn over here to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 to further understand that. Matthew chapter 6, we know this is referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It's actually an outline of how to pray to him. I want you to take a look at the principle that we're talking about here, that we are to worship him in our thoughts, with our words, but also we have to follow up with actions. The spirit and the letter of the law. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. But when you pray, Christ says, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. But of course he tells us we still must ask. Verse 9, Matthew 6. After this manner therefore pray you, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. So here we see Jesus Christ telling us that when we pray to God and we look to God and we serve him, we are to hallow his name. We are to reverence his name. We are to uphold his great, almighty, glorious character and power and mercy and love and position by recognizing who he is and recognizing his name. Names that refer only to him and can only apply to him, not any human being. But he goes on to say, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now we see the obedience part. As we do God's will, that's following up on what we think and say with what we do. Look at what Jesus Christ said as recorded by Mark in the book of Mark. Notice here in Mark 7 and verse 6. Verse 6 of Mark 7. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Did you know you can worship God in vain? It's unacceptable to him, even though you're worshiping him, but you're doing it according to what men say and according to what the traditions of men direct, instead of worshiping him the way he says in his word. That's what Jesus Christ is saying right here. Verse 7, Mark 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So in order to please God and obey God, and properly honor him, we have to worship him in the way he says, and part of that is obeying him. Isn't that what we read here in verse 6 of Mark 7? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. It takes more than words to keep the third commandment. So that commandment doesn't just apply to what we say. It also applies to how we live our lives. Do we uphold and honor God and his name with our actions as well as our thoughts and our words? That's part of keeping the third commandment. Come with me over here to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17. This is so plain in explaining that point. Verse 17 of Colossians 3. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I don't know how we could go to any verse in the Bible that better explains and summarizes and crystallizes and sums up what we've been going through in this program. Just read it again, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If we do that, we are keeping the third commandment rather than breaking the third commandment. And let's go back once again and just be reminded of what that third commandment is. Let's go over here to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I think by now, if you've been listening to the program, you know that the Ten Commandments are listed in order in two places in the Bible. One is Exodus chapter 20 and the other is Deuteronomy 5. We've already been to Exodus 20, so now let's go to Deuteronomy 5. You'll see no contradiction between those two chapters, by the way. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 11, the third commandment, says this, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." This commandment involves glorifying God, submitting to God, and upholding his authority. That's all in the third commandment about not taking his name in vain. That commandment often is overlooked. It's pushed aside. It's regarded with very little respect by many, many people. Well, I hope we won't regard it that way. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's binding on all of us. It brings blessings when it's obeyed, and it brings problems when it's disobeyed. The time is coming when all people on earth will uphold and respect God's name. We see that clearly over here in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4. Let's turn to Revelation 15 and verse 4. It says, "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments are made manifest." We can't wait until then when all nations will come and glorify him and revere his name. We must revere his name today and from now on. So let's uphold that third commandment, and let's do not take God's name in vain. Rather, let's honor his name in everything we think and do and say. If we take his name in vain, he will not hold us guiltless. If we uphold and honor his name, he will bless and guide and keep us. Let's keep that third commandment and reap the benefits from Almighty God. We have free material on this subject to send to you if you care to request it. Just call and ask for our CD on Law and Grace at 1-800-581-1317. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. You're going to find many topics and many subjects covered in this magazine, and it's all going to be researched and documented and especially backed up from God's Word. We'll be glad to send this magazine to you free of charge and without obligation. Straightforward Magazine is now available to anyone who would like to receive it. All you have to do is call 1-800-581-1317, or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.